All right. Here we go. Best threesome ever, episode 7. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
You'd Kevin Jesus Christ?
My full name, actually.
Kevin Jesus Christ. Nice.
Yeah.
You might notice a little bit different quality sound this week. I got some new equipment I'd like to brag about. Well, of course, Rob's going to give head to the microphone now. Just stop. Stop. Jesus. Rob. It's like a 12-year-old in a fucking candy store.
Yeah, so somebody went a little crazy with their tax return. That somebody is Nick.
Yeah. Well, when it's a business write-off, I can absolutely do that. So
that's fair. I like it.
It's the nice thing about producing a podcast, you can buy stuff and then write it off in taxes. Business expense. Should we start this again?
Maybe. Welcome to Best Threesome Ever.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
God damn it.
Keep all of it. At this point, keep all of it.
That was like the best opening ever. I was super happy.
Right, so last night
it's like one of those 90s. Oh, sorry.
I watched the pilot episode to a little show called Fuller House.
How'd that
and
go for
I
you?
Totally did not binge the entire season.
Did you binge the entire
I
season?
I sure did.
Were you drunk?
Myself, I wanted to like it. Now, there are bits and pieces of this episode that I certainly liked. Oh, the less than subtle nods to the original show and Uncle Jesse saying "Look how good we all look," I thought was awesome, and the side by side with the Flintstones song was kind of cute.
That was adorable.
And Jody
I also
Sweetin's
in
boobs were just
Jody Sweetin's boobs. Good lord!
Now I read a thing online that said this is basically a porn parody of Full House without the porn, and that was very accurate, especially with Jody Sweetin's boobs. But
yeah,
I think for all it has wrong. It does have some things right.
There are some nice little gems in the show, actually.
If there were some things that they could change, like the middle child of DJ, the little clean freak who takes after Ted Mosby.
Yeah.
He is a terrible little actor. Just awful. He's awful. He's awful.
He actually gets... Here's how I see it. Fuller House was an acting seminar for all three of these little kids. That's what it was. And it starts with the first episode and goes all the way to the last one.
That's fair.
And by the last one, he's better.
Not great,
but he's infinitely better. He stops cheesing for the camera.
Okay, that's good.
Which he does a lot in that.
Bad words like fart, booger brain, and Donald Trump. I wanted to, like, I hate Donald Trump too, but I wanted to kill myself. That was just...
Yeah.
There was a lot of pandering.
Now, and I agree with you.
Ooh.
What? There was a shit ton of pandering, and... I'm not gonna... Because you haven't watched it yet, but and neither's Nick, but I'm sure he won't.
Probably not.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Watch the pilot.
Watch the pilot. It's worth it.
I don't want to.
Watch the pilot as if it were the final episode, the series finale we never got for Full House.
We got a season finale.
Yeah,
series.
They all bowed at the end. And
yeah.
Kind of.
It was a final episode.
It was a final episode. It wasn't, you know, a good tie-off to a series finale, though.
I'll give you that, but I mean, it had finality to it.
Maybe sure. One night when I'm feeling lonely and drinking a lot, I will start watching it.
So let me... I have been able to compress my feelings on this show to, like, one phrase.
What? No way.
Okay, so you know the feeling of getting really drunk and then wanting to get fast food?
I believe that happened about a week ago.
It did actually happen about a week ago.
It did happen about a week ago. So you feel, but, well, no, we got like a couple steps above fast food.
Yeah, whatever. We got Perkins.
We got Perkins. I said
really horrible, really horrible Perkins.
Tiny baby steps.
Continue.
So you're really drunk and you go out and get fast food. And you know in your brain that you ordering that fucking Crave case of White Castle is going to suck later, because like you're going to hate yourself, you're going to feel gassy and bloated and fucking awful, and you'll have a hangover. But at the moment, it's so good. That is how I felt at the end of binge-watching the entire season. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, but it was just so worth it at the moment.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I like White Castle.
But I do like seeing... the guy who plays Mike.
Mike?
The guy that was the voice of Aladdin?
Yeah.
DJ
Zach, yeah, is desperately, desperately trying to crush that ass again.
He's not the father
of the kids?
No, he's not. They broke up after high school.
And Steve. Steve is the character's
Steve,
name.
I think his real name is Mike something, maybe.
I'm trying to remember his.
I don't know if we could.
We've got these computer thingies.
Who gives a shit? Anyway, I'm glad to see him working again because he probably needs it. I can't say. I'm sure he's still getting those Aladdin checks, but they can't be what they used to be.
Right.
Oh, no.
I have this strange feeling that he got a lot of say in what Steve does now as a job because he is, in fact, a podiatrist.
Scott?
Scott Winger.
Plays Steve. Steve is his name. Steve Hale. I didn't even know he had...
What has he done in the preceding years?
The character has... I'll tell you in a second, but the character has a last name, Steve Hale. I didn't even know he had a last name.
I didn't know either.
What has he done? Oh, a lot of Disney shit.
Yeah. Well, because he will always do anything Aladdin that they ask him to. He did Kingdom Hearts. He
Disney,
will do any of the
Disney
TV
Infinity,
shows.
Disney Infinity, The Neighbors, mm-hmm. Disney.
Wow.
Mistresses. For one episode, Kinetic Disneyland Adventures. Yep.
Yep.
Kingdom Hearts 2.
See? Yeah.
He was Aladdin. Yep.
Okay, so he'll just go out and do anything Aladdin.
Farce of the Penguins. He was in Scrubs.
Was he?
One episode, 2006. Dr. Kirshner. I gotta go.
What episode? 2006.
What's the name of the episode?
That would have been season six.
Six or beginning of seven.
No, yeah, six or beginning of seven. So yeah, season six or seven. Dr.
What?
Kirshner. Whatever.
Dr. Kirshner.
What I like about consider myself you, something of a Scrubs aficionado. I've been watching it while playing Star Wars.
Season six. Okay, so what happens in season six? Season six is the. That's is season six
season?
The musical episode season?
Yeah.
So that means Elizabeth Banks is a recurring character in that season, which means it's the season where JD has the love baby.
Yeah, it's the season where Turk and Carla have the baby because they got pregnant towards the end of season five.
Uh-huh.
Not that we ever watched Scrubs at all.
Six is, yeah. No, we're doing this without looking at our phones, by the way. This is us trying to just map it out in our heads.
It is true that they
Kirshner.
Are not.
He's a throwaway joke, I'm sure of it.
I'm sure.
Hoosers. A lot of Disney is pretty much all he's done. Pretty
and
much anything.
Apparently Scrubs, which is still technically Disney.
Is it?
ABC
only
Studios.
Only for the last season. It was NBC for the first seven.
It was a special case. Bill Lawrence had a contract with ABC, and they let him use ABC Studios to go over to NBC.
Yeah.
NBC. So it's a very rare show in which two networks actually owned the rights to it.
Well, and now we're getting a little bit of some network crossover with Flash.
Flash and the
I saw the first the first image online of Flash and Supergirl together, which... Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Was it
I can't
good?
Wait. Oh, it's just an image.
It's just an image. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
I thought you meant it was an
because
actual...
they acknowledged the fact that she exists with a flash of Supergirl when he was going from Earth 1 to Earth 2.
Oh, that's right.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an image online that showed them actually next to each other. It looked like they were about to race.
Neat.
Hmm.
So I think they're going to do that kind of Superman storyline, but with Supergirl.
Oh, fastest man alive.
Yep.
The fastest man alive storyline. Who's the bad guy then? Because the bad guy in that was Lex Luthor. Well, I mean, obviously the bad guy would have to change because it'll have to be a Supergirl-centric baddie instead of a Superman.
Well, I guess that means that, are you guys caught up on Flash?
I don't watch Flash.
I am, yes.
Do you know who Zoom is?
Yes.
Then you're caught up. So, spoiler alert. So Jay, the Flash from Earth 2, is Zoom, so I think that it'll probably be him.
Yeah. Well, it's not Jay, it's Hunter Zolomon.
I know.
I guarantee it's Hunter Zolomon.
And it's another Jay, I think, who's in Dr. Doom
mask. In the Man in the Iron Mask.
I think he's pulling the one, that Jet Li movie, and collecting his selves.
Oh, okay.
And trying to absorb their speed to become the fastest.
Right. But of course, on Earth 1... It's not Jay, it's someone else. Yeah. It's Barry.
Yeah.
Which he did not expect. Which I think is interesting. And now, actually, wow, it's clicking all in my head. That's why he's so fast, is because he's been able to just go and look for himself.
So here's a question. If Barry is not the Flash on Earth 2, why the fuck would he know Batman, Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern?
I don't know.
Because if you look on his goofy old new phone on Earth 2 with his wife Iris.
Oh yeah, he knows Bruce.
Yeah, he knows Bruce, Diana, and Hal are the bottom three. One button. Apparently, the phone only does speed dial to certain people.
Apparently,
it's a super weird phone. But it was.
It's an Earth 2 phone.
It's an Earth 2 phone.
Yeah, it's weird.
Jerk off motion. So
yeah. it's a shake.
Why on earth would he know them? And another question, are they these characters, or are they, what is it, Night Owl and...
I'll bet you that they're just normal versions of the characters on Earth 2.
That does mean that now Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and Batman have all been acknowledged in the Arrowverse.
Yes. Sort of.
Well,
The alter egos, not the actual superheroes themselves.
Superman himself is acknowledged, because if Supergirl is acknowledged, Superman is acknowledged. Because he was in the pilot episode.
Yeah, all right.
And who is it that Rory / Rip Hunter says, has that line about,
you know, I've seen Dark Knight's Fall and Men of Steel melts or whatever, yeah. Men of Steel break, something like that.
Dark Knight's Fall. All I paid attention to was a Dark Knight's Fall. Cause
yeah. By the way, Nick, have you been caught up on any of like the Arrowverse shows?
No.
You really should.
Though.
They're so good.
I know they're on my Netflix list of things to watch. Trust me, coming up in March here, there's a lot of dance competitions I'll be working. I'll probably be watching a lot of those shows because
Because you won't be watching the dance competitions?
No, because I don't have to do anything. I have to babysit a light board or a soundboard.
But it's a dance... Wait, hang on.
Under 18.
Yep, thank you. All right, that's why.
And they're really loud and annoying, so by putting in earplugs, I don't have to listen to anything.
That's fair.
Well, it's like when I had to work at the cheerleading competition, like the big one down at Disney World. I was a chef. But whenever the cheerleaders came down to do their national championship crap... they always pulled me from banquets to help work the breakfast buffets and stuff like that because they just needed the extra hands.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You don't even want to find them attractive because every single one of these girls is a Tasmanian devil. They will come up to the breakfast buffet. Oh my God, I'm so hungry. Oh, is that breakfast pizza? Gone. All the gone.
It's actually
that work. That I believe the technical term for that is teenage hurricane.
Yeah.
In my experience, it's the dancers are actually pretty okay to work with. It's literally the dance moms. They are worse than the devil. They like Lucifer would be scared of these dance moms. Like he would probably run and hide. I'm not cheating you. Some of them are so horrible.
Nick, your Catholicism is showing.
I know. I said Lucifer, though. I didn't say the devil. He's never really referred to Lucifer.
God, but, good.
I haven't watched
but
it
no,
yet.
But no, it's the dance moms that are the worst. That they just don't... And they just... The more I put my earplugs in, the better I feel. And I just kind of zone out and don't pay attention. So I probably will catch up on Arrow. I don't know if I want to start with Arrow or Flash. I'll probably start with Arrow.
Start with Arrow.
You have to start with Arrow because they're all connected.
Well, it's where it started anyways. I mean, it started with Arrow originally and then Flash came later.
And it's actually season two.
Season two is the strongest
of Arrow where you have season one, is it?
Season
one goes with season three.
Yeah, season one and season three. Season three of Arrow is the same season as season one of Flash.
So what's difficult is that when you start season three... of Arrow, you actually need to watch episode one of Flash first because it goes Flash, Arrow, Flash, Arrow, Flash, Arrow. But then halfway through, it switches and goes Arrow, Flash, Arrow, Flash, Arrow, Flash.
It sounds complicated.
Kind of annoying.
It sounds complicated. I'll figure it out. I'll start watching. Yeah.
But this season, they haven't done that to us. This season, it's been Flash, Arrow, Flash, Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Flash Tuesday night, Arrow Wednesday night, Legends of Tomorrow Thursday night.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And that's why that's why it's always gone.
That
Flash is first in the continuity, and then Arrow.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I I have to watch that, even though I kind of didn't want to after the first few episodes of the first season. But I was like, oh, it got way better after episode five.
I was told that too, but I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I tried. I did.
No, and that's fine. Season two is miles beyond either any episode of season two, season one, because it's just they go from being S.H.I.E.L.D. to being, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, just in this scrappy little room of, you know, instead of this big monolithic sort of military industrial, type thing, they go into sort of this covert black ops small team.
So it becomes operation. Alias with superpowers?
Yeah.
I can get into that. Yeah. It's way better than CSI with an occasional superpower.
Yeah. Season two is quite good.
All right.
In my
opinion. Well, I will struggle through then.
Yeah. Get through season one. And, like, the last five episodes of season one are pretty spectacular, and it all builds up to season two, which is excellent.
Yeah. A lot of people said it gets better, but I just haven't gotten the time to get around it.
And I think that's something a lot of people miss with Whedon shows, is that he never has a good season one. Never. Not even Firefly.
Come on now.
No. No, he's got to have that world building, and unfortunately, it was good.
It was good, it got canceled, so you didn't get canceled, to see how much better it would get.
Yeah.
But it was good, and you can't say it was bad. It was very good. It was well written, it was pithy, it was interesting. But they played it out of order, and people got annoyed.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened to Clerks.
Yeah.
The animated series.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love the animated series of Clerks so much.
I understand. You're wrong, but I understand.
I love it.
It's all right. It's funny-ish. I didn't like the... Let me rephrase. I felt like the Clerks, the animated series, if I was like a stoner, probably be fucking hilarious. But I'm not.
Eh.
Oh, by the way, I would like to issue an apology in my excitement to talk about the character and actor last podcast. I had called him Jeff Graves. That is actually a melding of his real first name and his character's last name.
Yeah, Randall it's Graves. Jeff Anderson. Yeah.
So I would like to issue that apology.
I guess I didn't even catch
excitement
it.
I missed it.
I didn't even realize that.
I'm like, did I see Jeff Graves? I think I did.
Randall Graves and Jeff Anderson.
Motherfucker.
I guess I didn't even catch it. I didn't even pay attention. And I'm the one that edits and listens to this podcast over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Be a better producer, Nick.
Fuck off.
I love you.
Maybe I was drinking while I was doing it. Stop giving the microphone head. So speaking of that, apparently
we should have never gotten separate microphones for each other.
Right. I should have gotten them for Kevin and I, and you could have just used your own.
Though back on Fuller House, that does kind of lead into what's up with all the nostalgia properties lately.
Yeah.
I'm okay. So you read the AV Club article, right? About the article you said that it's a porn parody without the porn. That's the AV Club article, and they say at the end, or like right in the beginning, it's one of the thesis statements of the fucking article. In the article they say it's hard to bash the ever loving shit out of. I'm paraphrasing, bash the ever loving shit out of this show without saying that Netflix shouldn't keep doing this because they should. Which I thought was great. I was like. But why? I mean, I feel like with Fuller House, we've reached the pinnacle of nostalgia properties. And, like, that's the... Tell me one bigger.
Urkel. Family Matters.
Family Matters.
No. Urkel was huge. Urkel was everywhere.
Urkel was everywhere, but you know what?
I went to school with a kid who went to Urkel.
Who went to Urkel as Urkel, and he Urkeled everywhere?
And Urkeled all over his face.
Who went to school on Halloween as Urkel.
Right.
And this is a white kid.
And oh,
he,
no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. He did he...
But nobody was bothered by it because it was Urkel, and everybody loved Urkel, and it was, you know...
No one was bothered by Blackface because it was Urkel! That's some bullshit!
And, like, we had quite a few black kids in our school, and they're like, Urkel!
He literally did... He didn't just do the white Urkel. He literally did Blackface.
He did Blackface.
Oh, my God.
That's not okay.
It was super not okay looking back on it.
That's so horrible. That's horrible. That is
If you could see the look on Rob's face, just the depression and dejection. Ugh, I love it. It nourishes me.
I'm done with this episode. You guys can continue on. I'm going to stay back here with my wounded pride.
Urkel was huge, and not... There's Family Matters, there's Full House, and there's Step by Step, the one with
Step by Step,
the poor
yep.
kid lady.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Step by Step.
Isn't that the one where the mom kept changing, or is that a different show
thinking of? That was a different show. That was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, she changed one.
No.
It was just Susan Summers.
No, that's not the one. That's not the one I was thinking of. There's another one that was on where she had kids, and it was like they were with like their aunt or something, or their mom. I don't remember, but the mom kept changing. I forget what it was. Anyways, regardless. It was on that nanny? No. Right. It was on that Friday night lineup show. Hmm. I don't remember. Anyways.
I got nothing. Yeah. I got sorry.
I'll think about it and I'll get back to you.
No idea.
No, they should bring back Alf. I think they should bring back Alf.
Shut your fucking mouth.
The fuck they shouldn't. That was hilarious. I love that show.
No.
I was looking at the
They
shouldn't
have brought back Full House and they did.
But so, and then the newest one they have coming now is Pee Wee.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pee-wee's coming back.
Which I'm not going to lie, I'm very intrigued. I really hope that...
Is it going to be adult? Is this going to be like an adult show, Pee-wee?
I kind of feel like it is,
okay.
But I don't know.
I hope so.
But every time I see Pee-wee, I just think of the old, you know, him sitting in a movie theater masturbating.
Right? And that's just it.
Which is bullshit, because how are you going to go and get... Like, I get that he did a kid show and all that stuff, but like, they should have kept that kind of hush-hush. How are you going to go and make such a big deal out of a guy going to a porn movie to do what guys do at porn movies?
Yeah, jerk off, right?
If I go to one, I'm gonna jerk off. That's what I'm gonna do.
Well, it blows my mind. No pun intended. So when that story broke, it wasn't like he went to some private booth. It was like a movie theater that was showing adult movies.
It was one of the creepy, gross.
Well, of course
movie
it was.
Theaters,
of course it was.
Where everyone else there was masturbating too.
I'm sure they all were. Because what else? What else? You can sit there and watch it for its artistic value and its storyline.
Yes.
Have you?
No.
No.
Have you ever seen the Pirates porn movie?
No.
Yeah, it's goddamn beautiful. It's... Evan Stone. We're going hunting. Pirates. I watch the kind without the porn because I love it that much.
Good Lord.
It's genius.
I don't think I've ever watched
it. If they had just a little bit more budget and could get just a couple of different peoples, it would be Mel Brooksian level of parody.
Wow.
So,
really?
Boom.
All right. But here's the thing.
Mic drop.
Please don't drop the mics.
They're brand new.
They look very expensive.
Oh, they were. Not so much.
Well, anyways. No. God damn.
Stop it.
See, that's just what you do to us, dickhead.
You're welcome. My thing about it is that Pee-wee's Playhouse starred a stunted man-child, and kids loved it, and adults looked at it and went, that guy's kind of creepy.
He was super creepy.
He was super creepy. But look at all the, like, if you look
and
back.
Hang on.
I'm sorry.
And then, you know, he gets tagged at an adult movie theater jerking it. And every adult who said, he looks kind of creepy, went, aha!
We should thank our fucking lucky stars that he was jerking off to adults and not little kids.
Right, yeah.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, that is perfectly normal.
Yeah.
It's normal.
And I'm with you. It's just, it was just
He could
the
have
reason-
easily have been a Jared Fogle, and he wasn't. He was just a normal dude who did a kid's show who likes looking at big-ass boobies. Who doesn't?
Truth.
He's my hero.
Good Lord.
He's your hero.
But I hope Morpheus comes back and does an episode.
Right. I was just about he'd be a very, very
Larry,
fat cowboy.
Fishburne?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Did you call him Larry?
He did.
Yeah.
He did call him Larry.
I call him Larry Fishburne
like
because of his
buds?
First. No, he is Larry Fishburne to me because of his first film credit. Apocalypse Now. In Apocalypse Now, he played the token black kid who dies like halfway through the movie, and he was credited as Larry Fishburne.
I did not realize he was credited as that. Man.
I totally have to look that up.
Yeah,
but great as that movie though.
But think about
right.
Apocalypse Now is great. But think about like you just brought up that Lawrence Fishburne was in that show and like
Larry Fishburne.
Oh, whatever.
Oh God, shut up.
But think of all the like people that probably got their start on that show. I mean, there's just a huge cast of them. Of course, right now I can't think of any off the top of my head other than Larry.
But no,
I think other than
quite
him, it was just celebrity, just actual celebrity cameos. Mm-hmm.
But they were good celebrity cameos. Who was it that played his mom?
I don't remember. Mecha Lecha High, Mecha God, I Hate You.
Yeah, who the fuck played him? I don't even remember who.
Phil Hartman was on there. He was Captain Carl.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Phil Hartman.
Oh, God, I miss you.
Who doesn't?
Right?
It's news radio? Ugh.
And it lost his magic after he left. True. There was no way to recapture it.
No, there
wasn't. Bless John Lovitz's heart for trying. Because his character was actually really funny.
He was.
But you just can't.
Okay, you and I have differing opinions on news radio.
But it's soured by the fact that you just want it to be Phil Hartman.
Yeah, plus John Lovitz is an untalented hack.
I think he's kind of funny.
I think he's funny.
He's so grating.
His
the critic was a. I love
the critic. I was just about great. To say the critic was
the critic
fantastic.
Is great. But it's mostly because I don't have to look at his really smug, smirky face as he does his voice. Like if I have to look at his face while he does that voice, it bothers the ever loving shit out of me. Plus, he's not Phil Hartman. Like that's what really like. That last season just killed it for me because John Lovitz is awful on screen. Give him a microphone, he's fine. I actually don't mind him. But I just don't like seeing that voice come out of that face.
His original stuff on Saturday Night Live was really good. A lot of his stuff is...
Absolutely was.
Is the one where he plays Santa Claus, and it's actually him and Phil Hartman. He's like, I'm Santa Claus. He's like, that was brilliant. What is it? Acting.
Yeah.
I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Some of that was good and classic. Oh, Sandra Bernhardt was on there. Jimmy Smits
was on Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Your authorized Conky Repairman. That was his character.
Authorized Honky Repairman?
Conky.
Oh, Conky?
C-O-N-K-Y.
What's a Conky?
I don't fucking know.
Right. Honky Repairman makes more sense.
Yeah, it does.
Honkies are fucked up.
Yeah. But they should have gotten Richard Pryor for the Honky Repairman.
Right? Awesome.
Allison Porter, Little Pumpkin, I don't know. People. Oh, that Natasha chick? I can't think of her
Natasha name. Natasha chick?
Oh, yeah, the Natasha chick.
Right.
Natasha Lyon? I don't know.
L-Y-O-N-S?
L-Y-O-N-N-E.
Oh, Natasha Lyonne.
Lyonne, thank you. I'm horrible with names, in case you haven't picked up on that yet on our podcast.
Natasha Lyonne, she was the...
She's in Orange is the New Black. She's probably one of my favorite, like, female kind of alternative...
That guy actors?
Yeah. Yeah. She is, like, my favorite female that guy actor. Yeah, absolutely. And she plays all these great roles. He's snarky. Mm-hmm. She's in My So-Called Life, probably my favorite, one of my favorite roles of hers.
She was the experienced friend in American Pie.
She was.
Yeah.
So if she was on Pee-wee's Playhouse, it must have A, been towards the end of its tenure, and B, she must have been very young when she was on it.
Probably.
Well, she's a lot older than...
Yeah, no, she's like...
She is 36. She's a year younger than me. So okay. She would have been...
But it's still only a couple years older than me, and I was real little when that came out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I genuinely don't remember it coming out.
I do.
Like, I was...
I used to watch it.
That's because you're a lot younger than us.
Yeah, I know. But that doesn't mean anything. It's just... Like, because I have seen things that you haven't. I know that for a fact. One of them being the Marx Brothers.
What? Huh?
All of them. Not just, like, one of them.
I'm confused. Like, the Marx Brothers?
Yeah. Like, the movies. The Marx Brother movies.
Oh,
I thought you meant like them in person.
Oh, no, that's what I thought too.
How the hell would I pull that up?
That's what I was trying to fucking figure out. I was like,
you watch the old Marx Brothers movies.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. I used to watch the Three Stooges a lot, believe it or not. I used to, as a kid, for some odd reason, I thought it was fucking hilarious, even though I probably didn't get 90% of the jokes.
So they were hitting each other, and that's all I cared about as a kid.
And this is a statement that I make with a couple of things. It's always the Star Wars versus Star Trek dilemma. Some people like Three Stooges, others like Marx Brothers.
Yeah, but then
I was a Marx Brothers fan. I don't like the Three Stooges. I don't think they're funny.
But it depends on what Three Stooges you're talking about, because there was two different versions of two different Larrys. So,
and then Shemp.
Oh, yeah, two, and then Shemp, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I genuinely don't find...
Curly, there's two different Curlies, no?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyways. There was two different casts.
Yeah.
The Little Rascals? Never got into it.
Stupid.
That's fair. It wasn't very good.
supposed to be, though. It was the show of the, you know, our parents growing up. That was their show. It was Little Rascals.
Yeah. That doesn't mean parents. It was good, though.
Fair enough.
I mean, the movie version from the 90s should pretty much tell you all you need to know about how bad Little Rascals was.
I didn't even see that.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
They did a Where Are They Now picture with them not too long ago.
I know. I saw that, and it's adorable. I really like it. Also, Darla turned out smoking hot.
It's true.
Speaking of... She got these like little lightning highlights in her hair, and it's...
I was thinking about this when we were talking about what we were going to discuss in this podcast, and I was thinking about shows that you would love to see made. And mine would be like X-Men in like the School of Xavier, a la like Saved by the Bell style. I think that would be kind of...
It was called X-Men Evolution.
It wasn't very good.
Terrible. Yeah. But it was literally...
Did they?
Yeah, X-Men Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, but I want to see live version.
That would be kind of fun.
Maybe not necessarily like the campiness of Saved by the Bell, but in that like...
Okay. Basically what you
but
want is
only
want
a, if Zach Morris plays Cyclops.
You want a Smallville or Gotham.
Yes.
But, a version of a Marvel X-Men. Show.
But X-Men, but like, you know, they're in the school and it's the, you know, there's funniness and there's whatever and
okay.
Maybe yeah. Deadpool pops in every once in a while.
Drama. And-
yeah.
Yeah.
The big cliffhanger season. Who's going to go out with who?
No.
I'm not going to lie. I want this. Maybe that's because we grew up on that kind of fucking show.
So
but
did
that
I?
Just sounds awesome no. to me.
Like so, but so did I. I don't.
You did, but you didn't.
No. I caught the tail end of Saved by the Bell, and yeah. I got like Smallville.
I still remember when it was Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Oh wow.
Mm. Oh yeah, I remember before when they made the big transition into.
I'm not even that old.
Fuck off.
Nice.
Thanks, Dick.
Wait. I think we have to do this in front of a microphone now for it to pick up. Yeah.
That was the weirdest high five I've ever
given. It was a weird high five.
To the side of a microphone that is a unidirectional microphone.
And like his hand was right by me and I had to like the bride 2-inch punch his hand. It was super weird.
2-inch punch, 2-inch. Oh, speaking of punches, we were going to mention this real quick. So Iron Fist is coming next.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where we're going with that. Donkey show.
Please let it be Donkey Show. Please let it be Donkey Show. No, Iron Fist, which I guess could be a porn since we've kind of talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
And apparently they cast...
I'd watch an Iron Fist porn. Why not?
They cast Finn Jones as Iron Fist, the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Plays
yeah.
the fancy prince. The prince.
Prince Fancy Pants.
Yeah. Guy with prince the armor. Fancy the armor pants. With all the roses on it. I yeah. can't
oh,
think of his
oh,
name.
Oh, Loras. Loras Tyrell.
Yes.
I've never...
Good job. I'm impressed.
I'm very impressed.
I don't watch the show.
That's really?
That's weirder yeah. than...
That's very weird. How do you know the name of characters
I've seen
that...
the first season. And he was in the first season. Was and he? All you had to say was the guy with the flowers. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Loras Tyrell.
See, and that makes sense because he's not as lost in the story.
Right, yeah. Because he disappears and then comes back later on. And
yeah.
Kind of like
so
that.
So that would make sense that he would hold on to like that because it's so hard to keep the characters straight now.
God, I
believe it.
And you think you have problems? Try being a guy that has a problem with names and like got to watch it over and over again. Trust me, I watch Band of Brothers 1.5 million times. I'm still picking up on new things that I haven't seen before. I just got to watch it over and over again. Don't give me that look.
So Saved by the Bell X-Men. How about you? What's a show?
I didn't really prep these guys on this one.
Does it have to be like a reboot mashup?
It can be whatever you want it to be.
Anything I want?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the story of your life in a porn is not an option.
No, I don't.
Because it would be very sad.
It would be so boring.
It'd just be a lot of him jerking off. Oh, wait, no, that's my life in a porn.
Mine's boring and mildly, you know, everyone becomes an accomplice. But anyway.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Get back to me on this. Nick, go.
I just went.
Oh, that's right. Kevin, you pick one.
I didn't really... I didn't prep these guys on this.
No,
so
I have no prep on this. I haven't thought of one.
This is off
but
the cuff.
I'll come up with one.
I mean, I would like to see, I guess, a DC show that they actually hold on to for more than a season or two that isn't kiddie bullshit, like Teen Titans Go.
Oh.
So like a cartoon?
Yeah, like an anime. Like I would like an animated one.
You'd like Paul Dini and Bruce Timm to work their magic on other franchise of DC.
But for real, they need to stop trying with Fantastic Four movies because I think there's too much to their story to fit into a movie. Mm. And I kind of wish that Marvel would get the rights and they would make a TV show out of it.
Mm. Yeah. And I would watch a Marvel TV show version of Fantastic Four. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because I think there's just too much there to do in a movie. Because, I mean, take like the new Fantastic Four movie. The first act of that movie was actually really, really good. And I was starting to think, okay, the trailers made it look like it was going to be bad, but maybe this is actually going to be pretty good. And then it just took a big dump on my chest.
Yeah,
it did. And Doctor Doom looked like a tree.
He looked
like one of Poison Ivy's little henchman trees with the glowing green shit.
Sure.
People who know me know I take Doctor Doom very seriously.
Yes,
he's one of my favorite characters to cosplay. I've spent a great deal of money on cosplaying this character. He's one of my absolute favorite villains.
Oh my god, it's a little obsessive.
He has just been a joke. And he is one of the most powerful, one of the most obsessive, and one of the most well-written and conceived characters, despite his stupid fucking name.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel. He has a terrible name, but he's such a great villain.
Victor Von Doom.
Not even that. I fucking love that. I just mean Dr. Doom.
No, but...
Does he have a PhD in doomliness?
Apparently he does. Right? Him and Dr. Evil...
PhD in horribleness. Is that the catchphrase now?
him and Dr. Evil went to the same doctor or evil school.
And spent 4 years at Evil Medical School. Yeah, right. Called Mr. Thank you very much. But... No, he is such a good villain and deserves so much more time and respect and has gotten none. Like, don't get me wrong, I kind of liked Nip Tuck Guy's... Slash What's-His-Face from Charmed.
Julian McMahon.
That's the one.
Thank you.
He was good in the first one. The second one was horseshit.
That's because the second one was just horseshit. The first one is campy and silly, but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. It's not good by any means, but it's campy. It's funny. Jessica Alba. Jessica Alba's butt. But
yeah, but my thing is, I never ever want to see Michael Chiklis on screen neutered like that ever again.
I know.
He's so good and doesn't deserve it.
I really like him in Gotham. I'm glad Gotham stole him.
Oh, he's on Gotham now?
Oh, yeah.
Who is he?
He's the new chief.
Ooh.
Isn't he the chief of D's or whatever? He's in charge of the detective unit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's fantastic.
Interesting. I loved him on The Shield. I thought he was amazing.
Yeah, and so he's kind of bringing The Shield back in this.
Oh, God.
That gets
me a little hard.
I'm glad they stole him.
Oh, I like that.
It's good seeing him back in a badge and just where he's supposed to be.
He does play that rough-edged cop thing really well. And that's just, it's fun. And he was great on The Shield. He deserved every award he was nominated for. I don't think he ever got one.
I don't think he ever won one.
Oh, yeah. He didn't. Which is funny because, you know, you watch him in, like, The Shield and he's great, and you watch him in this. And he's like one of those characters that, like, can change his age by his look because before he was on The Commish. Like I remember him on The Commish where he played the commissioner of a police department, but he looked very much older. He had hair. And maybe it's because he had hair.
Probably.
But, I don't want to see him with hair ever.
But it wasn't bad, though. But, like, he looked a lot older.
It's like Brian Dennehy with hair.
Okay. But didn't Brian Dennehy always have like this kind of crop top flat kid and play thing?
Yeah,
going
but
on?
It's always kind of thin. It always looks like it's thinning. That's what Michael Chiklis looks like in The Commish.
Yeah, I'm now Googling this. Yeah. But he looked a lot older in The Commish than he does now, and he's
because 10, he 15 years his fucking. Head.
I know, but he's 10 or 15 years older now. But he looked older 10 or 15 years ago. I don't know if it's because he had hair or whatnot. I don't know, but it.
Oh God, weird! I don't like it.
Wait, let me see it. I want to remind
just myself. All of these photos. I hate all of them.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty fucking... No, but see what I mean, though?
That's
fucking...
But he looks...
It looks like Brian Dennehy from the 90s.
Because
I mean,
it's so thin, it does make him look older.
I don't know if that's necessarily all of them are from The Commish, but...
But I mean, you know...
Quite a few of them are. Yeah. Also, whatever that comb-over thing was, that was just...
Weird.
The thing of nightmares. Like, guys with thin hair should not do the comb-over thing. Ever. Yeah, that's why I'm staring at you, Kevin.
I don't even have thin hair. Look at this shit. This is beautiful.
I'm staring at you so I don't look at Nick.
Oh, okay.
You all motherfuckers.
Barely gonna swear comb through this.
I own firearms.
Barber charges me double.
I can hit
you. I will keep quoting Archer.
Nice. I like it.
dicks, all of you dicks.
I'm okay with it.
I would actually like to see you with a full.
Yeah.
Have what, you not like seen?
I don't know if I've seen
it. I've seen it really short, but I haven't seen you chickless it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Will you
shave
please,
my head?
Yeah.
Please fucking shave your head and
smooth.
Cosplay as chickless from The Shield.
Yes, please. Yes.
I've shaved my head. Not like big shaved it, but I've shaved my head. There's some old.
Yeah, but baby bottom smooth.
I don't know
just
if it'd
do
look
it
good.
Once.
I don't know if it'd look good.
I want to see it.
Like, your head smooched a lot at Fest. I promise you that.
Yeah. You wear bandanas all the time.
You'll get it.
Yeah, but just take the bandana off.
Think if you didn't, you'd just get it rubbed.
Yeah. But we have to wear bandanas.
We don't have to do shit.
No, that's true. We don't have to, but we choose to kind of semi-follow the rules.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes.
But in this particular case, I think, yeah, if you go baby bottle smooth, you don't have to wear a bandana.
Think about it.
It's not a comb over to have my baldness is in the back, son.
No, I know.
Bald guy from Danger Committee doesn't always wear a headband or anything.
Yeah.
They're performers, though. They have different rules.
We're performers.
No, we're games.
We're still performers.
Okay, we're not the professional performers.
We get paid. Not professional.
We're paid,
there's
but
no argument there.
I meant like we're not a contract professional entertainment group. Like,
yeah.
Like. Because the
no, I know.
Johnny Phoenix doesn't wear a head anything on his head. Neither do the Puke and Snot. They do at the beginning, but then they take it off real quick. And neither do the Tortuga Twins. None of the real big acts do, but all the street people are supposed to or whatever.
But we're not street.
I know. We're not.
So
but
we don't have to follow their stupid rules either.
But then why do we?
Because it's hot.
No, that's right. It is very hot.
Yeah.
It's sunny.
And sunny and dusty.
And it's like some kind of farm animal.
And it's so dusty out there. Oh my God! I hope wherever their
and
new location is,
and yeah,
I hope wherever their new location is, it's not as fucking dusty.
It will be.
It will be
over time.
Dustier.
They used to spray it down back in the day. Stop licking the microphone. I'll show you when we're all done here. I'll show you a photo of me back in the day with some glorious thick hair. As thick as yours, Kevin.
I want to see this so bad.
I don't know if I feel good about that.
Hold on.
Nick's getting up from the table.
He's literally leaving the podcast
to do this. All right, fine. It's just you and me, Kevin. Come on.
It was literally two steps away. I had to go to my bag to pull
it. It was not literally two steps away. Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
You're beautiful.
That's a very old headshot of me from a show that I did.
That's a show? Oh, I totally would have assumed that was JROTC.
No.
That is the 90s-est picture I have ever seen in my life.
99, to be exact.
You could have given Christian Slater a run for his money.
I was real, though.
I was 19 or 20 in that photo. 19, I think.
Oh, damn. Seriously. This seriously looks like the cover of Pump Up the Volume. That's what this looks like.
I just need a mic in my hand.
Like, you need a cigarette and oh, wait. Kevin, give me those sunglasses. Perfect. Like, sunglasses and a cigarette hanging out, and he's fucking Christian Slater off the DVD cover of Pump Up the Volume.
That was a 90 haircut, man. That was the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my, don't you dare draw over that photo.
No, he's not going to draw over the photo. That's awful. What are you doing, though?
What are you doing?
What?
He's doing something.
Okay, there's one ball. That's not a ball. That's awkward. Okay. That's two balls.
I think he's trying to make sunglasses.
No, those are definitely balls.
No, I think those are sunglasses.
Eat shit and die.
Here, Kevin, I have a pair of scissors. Would that make your life easier?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to rip it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, continue, fellas.
Right.
I'm working on a project.
God damn it.
Now everybody wants to see this photo.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to have to post it now.
Yeah.
Don't know if I want to.
No, I like it.
Once
he's got the sunglasses done, we're going to need this, too.
Oh, is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Okay. actually, that photo was back when I was smoking. I was smoking back then.
I believe that. You look like you smoked. You look like one of the fucking skaters I used to hang around
with. I was so tired in that photo. It's not even funny. It was a summer show.
Either way, that guy looks like he's just crushing ass.
Unlike the sad, broken man that sits before us.
God, for fuck, what the hell? I love my friends. Seriously.
I think you're perfect just the way you are.
I think you're wonderful, and I just wanted to make off. That joke. I love you. Oh, I think you're pretty.
These are big enough. You can all suck
a dick.
Awesome. They're kind of Morpheus.
What if I told you?
they are totally Morpheus. I'm the whitest Morpheus ever. I'm a Morpheus.
All right, I'm going to take a picture of this.
I'm a Morpheus Christian Slater here.
Yeah, I like it. I'm taking a picture of this, and I'm going to make
and the
Nick
shirt
put it in the show notes.
And the shirt that I'm wearing is a
God. Imagine if Matrix had been cast with Christian Slater as
Morpheus. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh my God,
that's
what if horrible. I told you?
What if I told you?
My favorite Christian Slater role of all times is in
Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow.
No. Much smaller role in Star Trek when he wakes up Captain Sulu. And he's like, sir. He's in it for like two minutes. Yes. Yeah. He's in it for like 2 seconds. It was my favorite Christian Slater role. Is that sad or what?
That's sad for Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Although
Broken Arrow is a good choice. I like that.
If I were to pick an actual movie,
in Face Off.
I know. I wanted you both to
John
just
Travolta
sort of,
was.
I know.
In both of them.
Yes, he was. Nicolas Cage was the other one
If I was actually
so bad that
I'd
like
movie
it to
that
be
Christian Slater was in Robin Hood, clearly. I liked him in Robin Hood.
He's good in Robin Hood.
He was a good Will Scarlet. Sorry. Kind of a whiny little bitch.
I mean, I get that.
That being said, I really hate that Robin Hood.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's not a good Robin
no,
Hood.
No, not at all. Not even close. It's Kevin Costner.
Men in Tights was a better Robin Hood.
But it was.
What's sad is, despite it being a parody, it still might be the best Robin Hood.
Yeah. But it's because it captures that.
You didn't see
the thing about
the Russell Crowe one. I was just about to ask. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
No.
It looks terrible.
It is horrible. It's absolutely fucking horrible. Don't even waste your money.
I kind of figured it was horrible.
It is horrible.
But my thing about Cary Elwes and Robin Hood Men in Tights is very simple.
He's the only Robin Hood that speaks with an English accent.
No, that's not the answer. Although yes, but that's not the answer. The answer is that it captures the sense of adventure and the sense of fun. Well, Merry Men Fegola thing that we like from.
I think there's a lot more Fegola going on than that, but yeah.
But it's that swashbuckling Errol Flynn thing that we all liked as kids,
right?
That isn't captured in the Kevin Costner film, isn't captured in the Russell Crowe film, because they're both like gritty versions.
Yeah, they're
realistic versions.
They try to do the manly version, and unfortunately, if you actually read the history of Robin Hood, you know, his merry men were called merry men, and I'm not saying this as a negative thing, but they were
a little.
They were banging each other in the woods. Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm not saying that as a negative thing. I'm just saying that that's what history is. That's what if you know, are smart nerds and read up on your history of stuff. Then what are you laughing at, Kevin?
Nothing.
He's looking at stuff on his phone.
Is he looking at boobs again?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking about Christian Slater's been in lately.
What has he been in lately?
Archer as Slater.
Huh. AC Slater?
Is he AC Slater?
They're CIA contact for not this, not Vice, but the last season.
Yeah, but does Slater look like Mario Lopez? That's the important question here. Does he look like Mario Lopez and sound like Christian Slater?
No, he looks like Christian Slater.
I'm really disappointed by that.
He's apparently
in
that new Lion King show.
The Lion Guard?
The Lion Guard. Apparently he's like one of the main characters in that.
Huh.
Really?
Oh, the mighty
Mario Fallen. Lopez or
no,
Christian
Slater?
Slater. Okay, sorry.
No, Mario Lopez is too busy doing extra, extra.
He is. E.T.
At least Christian Slater still has, you know, morals
tonight.
And integrity.
Does he?
Is he doing extra, extra?
He's probably going to pay.
Integrity.
He's doing entertainment. Yes. Technically.
Final answer, a Fantastic Four series done by the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Back to where we were
about 9 hours ago.
Something like that.
But I thought about something today while I was watching the Power/Rangers, that gritty.
Oh, yeah, the reboot with James Vanderhoofsen.
James Vanderbeek.
I know.
And I've come
to
the
conclusion. I like to call him James Vanderhoofsen.
I've come to the conclusion, and now bear with me. That I want them to make a Halo movie, and I want him to be the Master Chief.
You want
what?
James Vanderbeek
James
to
Vanderbeek.
Shut up.
I
no.
think he's earned it.
No.
He's earned it.
No. Disagree.
Convince me.
Show your work.
So if you listen to the voice,
okay,
it is actually very similar in pitch and depth as James Vanderbeek's.
Okay.
He's the right height. He's the he's the right build.
Sure.
And from watching that, we know he can do action. And I just, I don't know, something about James Vanderbeek. I didn't actually like Dawson's Creek, but I like all the other stuff he's done.
Yeah.
Especially things where he plays kind of a ridiculous version of himself, such as Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and The Bitch in Apartment 23, which I think he's absolutely genius in.
And a lot of people have said that, actually, yeah.
And he
thought he was delightful.
I would like to see him do something.
The worst part of that show is the main character. Christian Ritter's great. James Vanderbeek is great. The
Dreama Walker.
The what?
Dreama Walker.
Mm-hmm. The guy?
Oh, are you talking about Luther, his gay attendant?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the other girl.
Though. He's lovely. No, the other girl is the worst part of that show.
Dreama Walker?
Yeah.
Kind of.
She's.
It's her weird, way too far away eyes.
Uh-huh.
That's. Other than that, I think she's fine. It's just her eyes weird me out.
I also just have a problem with that. She's like, she's a sitcom stereotype from the first episode on. Like, most sitcom characters.
I don't understand why that's a bad thing. That's the whole point.
Because Christian Ritter and James Vanderbeek aren't. James Vanderbeek is lovely.
And that's where you get conflict, and that's how you make, you know, a cohesive show.
Yeah, but you can do it without making her a stereotype.
Why is
it? I don't know. I think you
don't
can.
Don't trust the bitch in Apartment 23.
Yeah, don't trust the bee in Apartment 23.
Everyone in that show is kind of a stereotype.
Oh, she doesn't really far
with the exception
eyes.
Of yeah. Kristen Ritter.
She looks like an alien.
She
Kristen
does.
Ritter.
But she is.
Right.
Very much in love with Kristen Ritter.
Right. Oh, God.
But she has a...
It's not just because I found naked photos of her on
I totally, like, internet. I get where they were going with it, and so...
All right. Halo
Where can I find this show, this...
It's Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Now, the problem is, and I think we've talked about this before, actually, after about episode 11, about 9, 10, or 11, somewhere in there, it actually goes back and does all the unaired episodes, and it does them in order still, but it still goes back to, like, season 1, even though it says, like, season 2, episode 12 or something like that.
So this is only 26 episodes, so...
And so
yeah.
It goes back and rehashes these episodes, so you kind of hits rewind, and you're trying to figure out why she goes from having this awesome... You know, corporate Wall Street job to working back in the coffee shop again.
Oh,
that's
right,
why, because right. they didn't put them in order for some reason.
Right.
But no, I definitely suggest watching it because Kristen Ritter, who plays Jessica Jones, is just dynamite in it.
She's delightful in practically everything she's done.
And Vanderbeek really makes you like his parody of himself as the, you know,
the washed up actor.
Not even washed up, but just teen heartthrob trying to stay relevant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're always fun.
No, he's very good.
But I actually think he's a decent actor, and I don't know why, and specifically Master Chief, but that was just the first one that came to mind. I was like, who could he play in like an action,
and
you know, nerd film kind of...
As much as I love that idea, Vanderbeek is one of those actors who would be great if they let him take off the mask, and you cannot do a Halo film with Master Chief taking off the mask. It's offensive to me. Like I'm violently against that idea.
And you know,
it's the same idea as
Dredd. You know that Vanderbeek would want to show the face.
Yeah, because he's got a pretty fucking face.
But I think, if he could not do that,
yeah,
and almost any Halo movie, the problem is they'd want to take off the mask.
You could find an actor that like
So you're saying it doesn't have to be about good looks with the playing Master Chief.
Yeah, if it's just someone, yeah, I agree. It doesn't have to be about good looks to
I think
play.
We made a point of that in Deadpool. I think Ryan Reynolds got his...
yeah.
But he still had the mask off all the time, so...
Yeah, he did, but
Spawn, who almost never has the mask off...
Maybe they should remake Spawn.
They are. They finally got... And they've been trying to get this script greenlit for a long time, but because of Deadpool's success, they finally got permission to redo Spawn, and it's going to be the horror, thriller, creepy, violent, scary,
what
demonic movie that it's supposed to be. God damn it.
Very angry about that.
No.
Until Spawn reboot, McFarlane.
Yeah.
It's going to be more of like a paranormal, scary thriller with violence.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Billy Kincaid.
Who?
The ice cream man, pedophile who was kidnapping kids and kidnapping.
Yes. Oh, in the first one?
So
in the original?
He wasn't in the original movie. He was in
the
comics and
the animated
miniseries.
Sorry. Yeah.
So this is all getting spawned off by Todd McFarlane, by the way, who has decided he wants to reboot it.
Oh, okay. So it's just Todd McFarlane saying, I want to redo Spawn.
Apparently he's doing it, but Jamie Foxx and Cuba Gooding Jr., of all people, have expressed interest in the lead role. I think Jamie Foxx would do
Jamie
awesome.
Jamie Foxx, Cuba
no way.
Is a little washed up. You know what?
Kind of washed up? No, very washed up. What was the last thing you remember besides Snow Dogs?
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
You derailed me with that sentence. I couldn't understand it. He was just in American Crime Story.
Thank you.
The People versus O.J. Simpson. He played O.J.
I know he did, but I'm talking about a good role, and Snow Dogs wasn't even all that good.
Well, what you mean is a mainstream phenomenon.
Right, exactly. And I mean, and as much as the movie was kind of bad, but Men of Honor, liked it. Thought it was a good movie, him and Robert De Niro.
I enjoyed him in Radio.
Who would I want to play Spawn?
He always has a radio, because in Men of Honor, he had a radio that his father made for him that he had, and then freaking Robert De Niro smashed it.
Huh.
I mean, could Michael Jai White just do it again? I feel he'd have more respect for the role this time.
Well, that was his first acting role ever. Like, he wasn't even an actor.
Second, he was Mike Tyson right before it.
Was he?
Okay.
Michael Jai White, isn't Spawn. He like the...
Lead black henchman in Dark Knight.
Yeah, he's the lead black henchman.
Who gets his...
Period. Like, in everything, he's the lead black henchman.
God, I don't know.
He's never, like,
the leader, I don't know if Jamie Foxx would do it justice, to be honest with you. I mean, I like Jamie Foxx. I just don't think it'd be too Jamie Foxxian.
If he wasn't so tied up in being Luke Cage, and I don't like
Mike,
all the cross.
Yeah, right. Mike Carter, though.
Yeah, the guy who plays Luke Cage.
I think that's his name, Mike Carter. I could be wrong.
He wouldn't be bad.
I have to think about this one. Who could play Spawn?
I actually don't know the property very well. Because
the problem is when I think of black action heroes, it always has a sense of a lot of them have like a snarky kind of comedy attitude, and that's not. Spawn isn't snarky or comedic. He's very
direct.
Oh, I just came up with what I would answer for your what would I give TV show properties to?
Okay,
those were words.
Try that again.
Yeah, what property I would give a TV show to? And it's I'm absolutely
Don Cheadle. I want him to play Spawn.
You want Don Cheadle to play Spawn?
No, I really don't. Morgan Freeman.
Ooh, that could just be fun if he's the voice. I would enjoy.
I didn't mean to keep going.
But mine's kind of the dark horse answer because
just you wait, and I'm gonna kill all these demonic sons of bitches.
Shoot that motherfucker!
I know that was to this day that's still the most
Ice Cube. I want Ice Cube to play Spawn.
God damn it! I want Jaleel White to play Spawn.
Jaleel White to play Spawn.
You're welcome.
I've never wanted anything more in my entire life.
You're welcome. But to be fair, even though it's a joke, it's starting to gain traction in my mind because after Family Matters, Jaleel White got fucking ripped.
Of course he did.
He got...
I want Kevin Hart to play Spawn.
I can turn your mic off. That's really cool.
Stop. Don't touch it.
I swear to God, I'm going to turn your
Don't
mic
touch
off.
Me. Don't touch me. I need an adult.
Anyways.
Tyler Perry?
That I'd watch. Yeah. No.
Oh, here's the problem. He absolutely could.
He could. He is built like a brick shithouse.
Maybe he's getting too old?
Maybe.
How old is he?
Because you want...
He's like 30.
He's got to be... He's got to be early 40s. But you unfortunately want somebody maybe... somewhere in our age range, somewhere from the...
Between 28
like late,
and 35?
Late 20s to early mid-30s.
Yeah. Mm. It seems reasonable. Yeah. But anyways, so my choice for bringing a franchise to television is not really bringing a franchise to television, but bringing one back. It would be my reboot. I want 5 more seasons of The West Wing. I just do.
Really?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. I do. I want 5 more seasons of The West Wing. And if that means they have to cast a completely new crew, I'm okay with that.
Actually,
I want 5 seasons of The West Wing with Josh Lyman as president. That's
I can't I think
want.
Of his name, but the actor that played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
I actually think he would be a really good Spawn.
Corey.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
It's not a bad choice, though.
And Jaleel White or Dr. Dre?
Dr. Dre.
By the way, and did you guys see Straight Outta Compton?
I did.
Yes.
Oh. It was very good. And I didn't...
All right, excellent. And now this segment is called Three White Guys Talk About the Blackest Movie of 2015.
But I thought it was funny, like, for the, because I was watching it. I'm like, God, they picked a really good actor that looked like, he looks exactly like Ice Cube. Wherever did... Oh, it's his son.
Yeah. O'Shea Jackson III, yeah.
Yeah, it's his first movie.
So,
yeah.
Here's the thing, is that when this whole debacle about, you know, the
Oscars,
so
about
the Oscars are coming
Oscars
up.
Being yeah, so yeah, white, yeah. And they're like, well, then make better movies, black people. I'm like, first of all, it's a shitty thing to say. Second of all, straight out of Compton.
It was so good. Hello. The guy who played Eazy-E deserved. I said when I walked out of that film, the very first thing I said to my girlfriend as we walked out, I said, Eazy-E deserves a Best Supporting Actor nomination at the very least. No, and you know what's sad? Yes. He won't get it.
No. I was right. I thought for sure there was going to be nominations up the ass for that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
What did they get? Best Adapted Screenplay or Best Original Screenplay?
Something. They won a lot of Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
As they should. But they should be at the Oscars. They should be in
the Oscars. Is such Oscars. And this is my deal. You
Golden
know
Globes
that the Oscars...
JV League and you know it.
Right, but the Oscars are so, they're so, you got to make an Oscar-worthy picture. I mean, if you look at, and I'm not trying to sound racist, if you look at, like, the African-American movies that have made, you know, Oscar nominations, you know, 12 Years a Slave, The Butler,
Selma,
The Color Purple.
They're all about race relations, is what you're saying.
They are, but they're, like, dramatic, drama-heavy.
Well, so was Straight Outta Compton.
I agree with you.
It was about race
and
relations.
I agree with you, but it's because of the controversy of the stupid rap music industry and all the other shit. And it's
rap.
I'm sorry, hang on. The Academy Awards have awarded Best Original Song to a rap group.
They
and
absolutely
not even a
very
did. Good one.
They absolutely
did. 3-6 Mafia.
And what was the name of the song?
Sipping on some scissor?
No, it was
like,
out there for a pimp.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
I'm kidding. I was choosing one of their more ridiculous songs.
No, that's fair.
But yes, I agree that I totally agree that Straight Outta Compton needs Academy of nominations.
Sipping on some scissor.
I mean, it was
in my head.
It was phenomenal. It was a great movie, and it was. It wasn't what I expected it to be. I'm like, oh, this is just going to be about rap music and blah blah. But it was about Eazy-E's life, and
it was about He was, I was not expecting a movie where two of the main characters are still alive and had control of this movie. Mm-hmm. I did not expect the movie to focus so much on Eazy-E.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought, but
I think it was them paying homage.
And Dr. Dre were both producers on this. I honestly expected to see more of their story than his.
And I remember growing up, I remember hearing about like the stuff, like the stuff in Detroit. I remember hearing about that. I remember hearing about the NWA stuff. And I,
The fact that
it was on MTV News all the time. Every time you turned on MTV, it was
NWA
on there.
Has been arrested for this thing or that thing. And,
Exactly. And the whole thing in Detroit and the cops busting up and they've been
back when the station had something to do with music.
Exactly.
Right.
And they actually played music, but it, so it's kind of interesting to see
the
backstory.
Another thing that came at the tail end of was MTV having music.
My condolences. It used to be a pretty cool network.
It did.
No, I got to see the end of it.
Ricky Rackman and Monster Jam.
I got to see
Jam.
Ricky Rackman.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I got to see Ricky Rackman. I also got to see TRL, and that was like the death of
it was,
music.
It was a death. Although there's a really good there's a really good episode of TRL where Marilyn Manson, before he was Marilyn Manson, was on there. Like they asked him, so he was like,
he's just sitting in the crowd.
Yeah,
and his name's like
random,
Brian.
Yeah, his real name's on there, and he was just some random dude in the crowd that they asked a question to. But it was interesting to see. Like I was saying, it was interesting to see the story behind what they were going through, and like because I remember seeing all that, and then to see what was going on behind the scenes, and you know, like you said, that Dr. Dre and Ice Cube had an influence on this movie.
Yeah,
I think it was the
producers along with Eazy-E's widow.
Yeah, but I think that was them just paying homage to their, you know, what they went through, the music industry, and their friend.
Yeah, and they were all three of them had great storylines.
Absolutely.
I liked Dre's, I liked Ice Cube's, but Eazy just, there was an emotional impact for me every time that actor was on screen. And I wish I knew his name, I should look it up, but I want to say it's like Corey Jackson or something.
And I remember that, I read an article recently that said that Ice Cube actually didn't want his son to play him. And
he wanted to find an actor.
Yeah, he wanted to find an actor, and his son actually like rehearsed for like 2 years
Probably not that ridiculous, but he rehearsed forever.
That's what the article said. That
oh, okay.
He trained, quote-unquote, you know, to be his father. Are you taking another photo of that?
Jesus. I'm sending it to Crystal.
But and then like the actors actually recorded Straight Outta Compton. They actually actually got in there and recorded all the music out of Straight Outta Compton.
Neat.
So a lot of that you hear in there is them actually singing and rapping. And
I like that a lot.
And then you listen to like and what
Jason Mitchell. Yes. Jason Mitchell is the and Corey Hawkins is the name of the guy who played Dr. Dre. Jason Mitchell played Eazy-E. O'Shea Jackson Jr. was Ice Cube.
And it what blows me away even more is that when you listen to like the rap songs, like they totally are slamming each other. And when you put it in the context of the movie, it made even more sense.
Yeah.
And it just makes it that much more like, oh, they're not just—I mean, they're just rapping about their lives and really trying to get at each other.
And the other sad thing about this film,
oddly enough, that we're talking about this, Boys in the Hood is now on TV.
Oh, neat!
Which was written by Ice Cube.
Weird.
Huh. It's just that's a
creepy.
Huh. Anyways, in my opinion, the saddest part about all of this was that it should have been nominated for Oscars. It had all of the great Oscar bait moments in it. It had the sad dying guy of popular today illness thing to talk about. It had the struggle from the hood kind of conversation. And it had Paul Giamatti. He himself is Oscar fucking bait.
He's
fucking Oscar bait.
So good.
And he was great in that movie.
I love me some Paul Giamatti. Really do.
I'll basically see any movie he's in just because
he's
in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he's in it, I'll see it. And as soon as I saw that
like Sideways.
Yeah.
I did not like Sideways.
You didn't like Sideways?
I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't. Huh. I just felt it was...
But it was Rhino and Sandman as wine aficionados.
I'm well aware.
And
I felt that they were...
Asian chick from ER.
Speaking of... No, Oscar bait movies. Asian I just felt that Sideways. I just felt that Sideways was pushing hard to get that Oscar nomination. That's why I think I didn't like it because I just felt it was pushed so much on me. It's like I would have enjoyed it better had they just done a movie and not tried to push so hard to get those Oscar nominations. Which I believe it did get Oscar nominations.
Virginia Madsen played the fourth woman, the fourth person in that movie. She was the blonde woman who Paul Giamatti got freaky with.
And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes when I see a movie, it's the content in which I see it or the context in which I see it.
Yeah.
So if I'm not, like, maybe I saw it at a bad time or I was just all upset or whatever.
But it, no, I
Oh, yeah, loved... Oscar winner for Best Writing and Adapted Screenplay. Yes.
Sideways?
Sideways,
yes. Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Straight Outta Compton had all of the right elements to be an Oscar-worthy film. And the one element that had going against it was that it was a movie about a black music group.
Right, yeah.
That wasn't, you know...
Like The Temptations.
Right. That wasn't The Temptations.
Or Dreamgirls or whatever.
Or Dreamgirls. Or it wasn't... But it wasn't a mainstream style of music.
Exactly. What was I going to say? Have you seen Reverent? Did you see Reverent?
The Revenant?
The Revenant, sorry.
Yes, I saw it.
I have not yet, and I really, 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 really want to.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I don't understand where that movie is getting an Oscar nomination.
He doesn't deserve it.
No, it was it was beautiful. It was great. It's a good story. Not much to the story.
No, there's not enough story.
And I was impressed. I was impressed that the entire movie was filmed in natural light. There's no Hollywood lighting. It's either sunlight, moonlight, fire, candlelight, whatever they had. That's what they filmed with. And I was very impressed by that.
That's very cool. Yeah. It is a beautifully shot film.
Yeah.
Aside from that,
yeah.
And here's the sad part. Leo phoned in his performance. He's going to get the Oscar for this.
But sometimes what I've learned through watching the Oscars over the years and playing the Oscar game of what movie's going to win or what actor's going to win is you can kind of guess that, well, maybe it wasn't necessarily for this movie, but it was for another movie.
Like, yeah, where he got gypped or whatever.
Yeah, like Denzel Washington, great actor. Love a lot of his stuff. And he was nominated, I forget what movie he won it for, but he won Best Actor for...
Training Day?
Yeah. Was it Training Day?
Yeah, he got Best Actor for Training Day.
Which I felt at that time was very appropriate, but I feel that it was also like a nomination
for
all
his
glory.
Other...
It was for Glory.
Yeah,
it was for
glory,
a lot of different things.
It was
yep.
for all the ones before that. It was,
yep. But yeah. Training Day was really good. I loved him in Training Day because he was not the nice guy. He was actually a bad guy.
Yeah.
An actual bad guy, and that was so different from what he normally did. I thought he did brilliantly.
King Kong ain't got shit on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very, you know. But what do I know? It's the Oscars. It's
politically
driven by...
Yeah, it's a political thing that
I don't think it should be. I think it should be if it's an Oscar-worthy, you know.
It's a film that deserves accolades and awards, it should be nominated for an Oscar. Right. It isn't, because it's all built by a media conglomerate thing.
Right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, members of the Oscar committee aren't known to the public. Like, people don't know who are part of the Academy, the Oscar Academy. I thought that there was maybe a handful of them that are, but, like, they get whoever it is, actors, writers, Carlin. Actors, writers, whoever, like, they get...
Thank you.
I had no idea that's what that was. Thank you. Anyways.
That the Academy is kind of an unknown, like, nobody knows who's in the Academy. It's kind of
Illuminati.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Illuminati of the movie world.
Interesting.
The actual Illuminati.
Oh, well.
Interesting fact, the members of the Electoral College and the members of the Oscar Committee are the same people.
So your votes don't count anyways.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying? They pick
that's exactly what I just said, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They pick who they want, and that's that.
Yeah. No, I mean, but I'm joking, obviously. They're not the same people, but I'm also not wrong.
No, but
they pick who they want, and fuck your vote.
But I don't understand, like, some of the choices that they make. Like, Babe won Best Special Effects over Apollo 13.
Yeah, sure did.
What? A talking fucking...
That happened, and we let it happen.
A talking fucking pig won over recreating the Apollo 13 rocket launch.
I understand what you're saying. See, I was going to go into a Bernie Sanders character, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what... Yeah.
You're talking to the wrong person. I don't follow any politics.
Thanks for effort, buddy.
Give me a headache.
It was worth a try.
Big headache. So,
but no, I'm with you. I don't understand. Babe got special effects because they made a pig talk.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
La, la, la.
La, la, la. La, la, la. La, la,
Mr. Ed talked by shoving a carrot up its ass, but he didn't win any awards.
It was peanut butter on
They
it.
Did that eventually, but at first it was like a carrot.
A carrot in the ass?
Yeah.
Atta boy, 50s TV execs.
But then they got in trouble for that, and then yeah. Ate it with peanut butter.
What a fucking surprise.
I'm just... Maybe it's a joke. I don't know, but that's what I remember reading a long time ago.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Sorry.
Well, I Googled Mr. Ed. I Googled Mr. Ed Carrot, and look what the third image is.
Let me see.
The third... Wow!
That is a cowboy yep. dick, everyone. Yep. That is a cowboy dick.
And by the way, wow, he's wearing chaps, and there's no need to say assless chaps because
all chaps are assless.
All chaps are assless. It
really bothers me when people say that.
Ryan Reynolds. I watched an interview with Ryan Reynolds, and he said that. He said he's wearing a pair of assless chaps, and I go, you don't need to say assless chaps. Otherwise, it'd just be pants.
What I think people are insinuating when they say assless chaps means that they're not wearing anything underneath the chaps. Like jeans, etc.
Well, yes, but then people were, but then someone else sees that and says, "Oh, I'm wearing assless chaps," even though they're wearing jeans underneath, and that's where it gets confused.
And I understand that also. I'm just trying to.
No, I know.
Just trying to be helpful.
I kind of want to get a pair of chaps, not for any sexual reason, but because I ride a motorcycle, and it would be.
That's disappointing.
Me. I know. I'm sorry.
Is it also for sexual reasons?
Maybe.
There you go.
Okay. Less disappointing.
It can be both.
Yeah.
You don't have to be embarrassed around.
I'm gonna entertain myself even more by wearing chaps now. Because it's really only me. Hey, look, it's Larry Fishburne in Boys in the Hood.
Ah! See? Larry goddamn Fishburne.
Yeah.
Larry Fishburne. Is he in Boys in the Hood?
He is. He's the father.
I honestly have never seen it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It really is actually a really good movie.
I know I should see it.
Yeah, especially after seeing Straight Outta Compton, you'll understand Boys in the Hood much better.
Oh, I believe it, yeah. That makes more sense.
You know, you'll understand it a lot better. And it's just,
yeah. But no, Revenant is not good, and I don't understand why it's getting all this buzz.
And I was excited to see it, too, and it was...
I mean, I liked it. It was good enough.
Here's a question because I haven't read the nominations, but did Quentin Tarantino's movie get Oscar nominations?
Hateful
at all?
Eight, probably.
Hateful Eight.
Still haven't seen it.
It's
you're better off.
It's a Tarantino movie. It's good. I liked it. I enjoyed it for what it's worth.
Ugh.
I don't like that Tarantino threw a big fit about it being pushed out of a theater because Star Wars wanted to stay for an extra 2 weeks.
You know, like, what? It's like not just that though.
I get where he's coming from with that, but at the same time. Dude, you're trying to put your movie up against Star Wars.
Right.
Just
don't.
Just
Let
them have that for the.
Yeah.
And,
guess what they're going to get? Billions of dollars. Guess what you're going to get? Oscars.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of give and take.
But I'm just
here.
Thinking that it's funny that that movie can get nominated, and I have to look at the nominations to be speaking truthfully, but Quentin Tarantino's movies, Django Unchained, Oscar nominations.
Racially motivated?
Extremely. I think they use the N-word in that more times than they do in Straight Outta Compton, to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably.
But that movie can get an Oscar nomination, but Straight Outta Compton can't. And that's what doesn't...
No, they're both nominated for screenplay. They were both nominated for Best
Original
Screenplay.
But I'm saying that
Django won for Best Original Screenplay.
Right, but I'm saying that they got a lot of nominations, whereas... Yeah.
Straight Outta Compton did not. Only got the one. It got original screenplay. And frankly, if it doesn't get it, I'm rioting.
So that being said,
I think
said,
that's it. Yeah.
So it's best threesome ever. We're gonna say a fond farewell and see
so
what
long,
our Oscar
farewell,
predictions.
Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
Go.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you go fly a kite? See what I did there?
Wow.
Chim chimmery, chim chimmery,
oh,
chim chim true.
Chitty
chitty bang bang.
Well, anyways, on that note,
let's go fly. Sorry, I actually really like that one. That is a great song.
This has been best threesome ever.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
We'll see you next time.
Chim chimmery, chim chimmery, chim chim true. There's going to be glitter, a hot towel, and a sushi chef waiting for me.
It's going to be an after-dinner mint.
Right.
Good to go.
Self-serving after-dinner mint.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That rousing conversation.
God damn it. This is how we test the mics. I love it.
Yeah, but they test out well, so.
Yeah, I mean.
God, I hope you recorded that.
I did.
Oh, yeah. It was on.
I think I might soundbite the after dinner mint part. Put it at the end.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.